Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Israel, for those who doesn't know me. And my favorite language is not English, of course. It is Spanish. But I hope I can explain myself, and I hope you can give me some of your attention so you can understand me. Before we start, let's pray. Let's go to the Lord. I will ask you to pray with me and to pray so you can hear the word of God, so you can know Him a little more, and you can follow His will. Because you don't want to hear me. I don't even want to hear myself. You want to hear God's word. So please pray with me and ask that to the Lord. Father God, thank you very much for the opportunity that you gave us to know you, to be your children, to be part of that infinite love that you share with us. Help us now to understand your word. Help me to be faithful to your word and to explain it that you want it to us to understand it. Please, then you Holy Spirit move in our life and talk to each person here in a particular way so we can glorify your name. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, we have to go to the book of, I had a bad time saying it, Deuteronomy, is that right? That. So let's go over there. We have to cover chapter 1 through chapter 9. Well, that word you just say, that's a Greek word. It means the second law. But as Pastor always mentioned, the Hebrew name of the book is the first three words of the book. Well, in this case, four words in English, because the article is included in the four. So it is, these are the words. These are the words is the name in Hebrew of this book. And it is referred to the explanation of the law. It is not exactly a second law, but it is the same law that Moses mentioned before, but with an explanation of it. So I highly recommend this book for many reasons. First of all, because it is this book with Psalms and Isaiah are the most quoted in the New Testament. So it's very useful. And second of all, and maybe most important of all, is because Jesus memorized it. Yeah, Jesus have to take the book and memorize it. Because when Jesus was tempted, you know the story, he quoted three times the scripture. And three times he quoted, it was from Deuteronomy. And if Jesus saw in his life the need to memorize this book, having the divine nature, well, you should memorize it too. Because if you don't think you don't have to memorize it, you are thinking to yourself that you are maybe more intelligent than Jesus, or maybe the temptations cannot affect your life. If Jesus thinks that temptation can affect his life, and the way he can support those temptations was memorizing his word, and he did what you should do it to. Let's go to chapter 6, and let's see one of those quotations from Jesus. In his third temptation, he quoted chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, verse 13. I'm having a hard time saying that word. Okay, it says, "It is the Lord your God you shall fear, him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. Nowadays, it's not common talking about the fear of God. That's a very, I think, the small time that I have studying the world, and the poor knowledge that I have of the world, I consider it very important, a very key doctrine, the fear of God. And Christians nowadays, they probably heard about the fear of God, but they don't really live their lives with fear of God. The fear of God in the Old Testament is what summarizes everything. In the New Testament, what summarizes everything is the great commandment, right? Love your God with all your heart, your mind, and your strength. Well, in the Old Testament, what summarizes everything is fear your God. That's what Solomon, in his book, let's go to, well, that's another hard word. Ecclesiastics, let's go over there. Chapter 12, Ecclesiastics. It's right after Proverbs, chapter 12. The verse 13 says, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." So all what you have said about the law and about the commandments of God in the Old Testament is for one reason, so you can fear the Lord. If you don't fear the Lord, if you don't understand what it means, if you never fear the Lord, if you're never trembling before His presence, if you never was scary the first time you encounter with Him, well, you probably don't know Him. You probably cannot follow His command. And maybe you have a hard time trying to follow His commandments, trying to do His will. And maybe you see in your life and you cannot do it. And probably it's because you don't fear God. The only way you can follow God and the only way you can do His will and obey His commandments if you fear God. And today I want to show you How is that fear of God happens in man? First, let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to use a lot the Bible. I know maybe we don't have that thing today. But let's go to Proverbs chapter 1, 7. It's a very famous verse. You probably heard it many times. He said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge." If you at some point, if you think that you know God, if you think that at some point you encounter with God, well, you should have the fear of God. And why is it important? Well, let's go then to chapter 8, verse 13. In the same book, in Proverbs, it says, "The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil." So the only way a Christian can hate the evil is when he fears God. And you have to hate the evil. You don't have to be neutral to the evil. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach you to, when you see sin, you be neutral to that sin. So the Bible teaches you that as a Christian, you have to learn, you You hate the evil. Because God hates the evil too. And he hates the sinner. Well, we are not going too deep to this matter, but the only way you can experience the fear of God first is when you encounter with God in the presence of God. And now, let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, or that book, chapter 5, please. And we are not going to move for a while again, I promise. Let's go to chapter 5, verse 22. And the context here is when Moses, when God gave to the people of Israel the Ten Commandments, and this is the scenario. What's happened? Verse 22. It says, "These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly, at the mountain out of the midst of the fire, the cloud and the thick darkness, with a loud voice, and he had no more. And he wrote them on two tables of stone and gave them to me. And as soon as you hear the voice out of the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, you came near to me. All the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, 'Behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. This day we have seen God speak with men, and man is his life. Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of fire, as we have, and has still lived? Go near and hear all that the Lord our God will say, and speak to us all that the Lord our God will speak to you, and we will hear and do it. And the Lord heard your words when you spoke to me.'" It's Moses is speaking here. "And the Lord said to me, 'I have heard the words of these people, which they have spoke to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart as this always, to fear me and to keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever.'" I want to tell you something. It's not common in the Bible that when God talks about people of Israel, say that they are right in all that they have spoken. Usually, when people of Israel, when they spoke, they are complaining all the time. Usually when people of Israel do something, they do it wrong. It's not very common. You won't see that many times. But this time, God says that they are right in all that they have spoken. It's the first time that I really see that. Then God is agreeing with what the people of Israel do. They usually do a mess, whatever they do. But what motivates this in the people of Israel is the fear of God. They were in this mountain, and God appears there. And in the verse 22, it says that he appears in the midst of fire, the cloud and the thick darkness, with loud voice, and he had no more. And it says also that God is a consuming fire. We sometimes see God as an all lovely man, yeah? God, my friend God, yeah. But God is also a consuming fire. You know why people don't fear to sin? Because they don't fear God. Because they don't know God. They think that God is always happy. He never gets angry about you. He doesn't know how powerful he is. He's a consuming fire. And you don't play with that God. These people, when they hear, they don't even see an image of God. They don't see God. They just heard the voice of God. And they fear God. And it says about Moses that Moses was the one who talked with God. We have to go to Hebrew. I'm sorry. Let's go to the book of Hebrew, chapter 12. In the verse 21, it says, "Indeed, so terrifying was it shall be a stone." Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, "I tremble with fear." When Moses was in the presence of God, he doesn't was like jumping and say, "Oh, your presence." No, he's not like that. When God appears to the people of Israel, they were not clapping and say, "Oh, God is with us." There you go. There is the presence of God. How wonderful is the presence of God? Hey, okay. There is the presence. They don't want to even be in the presence of God. Because they start to know who really is God. You know, nowadays everybody says, "Oh, what a great time I have in the presence of God." When people in the Bible experience the presence of God, no one of them is like that, like us. Everybody of them is screaming and trembling. There is Isaiah, who had that experience, and he was trembling. Jacob, when he dreamed, he was scared of the presence of God. Every single person who experienced the presence of God in the Bible feared God. Really know who is God. That God is not that all man God. No. That God is a consuming fire God. And they fear God. If you don't fear God, if you don't experience the presence of God in your life, you probably won't fear in such a way, God. And be worried, because if you don't fear God, if you see and all your thoughts goes against God, I really don't like American Christianity, I have to be honest. Because there is too many Christians. Everybody's Christian here. Everybody's Christian. I don't like that. Because the Bible said that the majority is not Christian. Only that minority is Christian. But everybody's Christian. And they're happy being Christian, although all their thoughts goes against the will of God. All their habits goes against the will of God. I want to tell you something. We are in the process of sanctification. That's right. But that doesn't mean that your lifestyle is like a sinner lifestyle. I want you to go to Peter. Oh, I'm sorry. I have too many things to say. Let's go to Peter. Second of Peter. Let's go to read from chapter 1, verse 3, the third verse. It says, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them through those promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature. Do you think that you are going to be participant of the divine nature in heaven? Well, God wants us to be participant of that godly nature here. Your nature, your lifestyle have to be like a divine nature. That's not a promise for the future for heaven. That's something that has to happen in your life now. If that doesn't happen in your life now, it won't happen when you will be in the presence of God. That divine nature, you are participant of that divine nature here. Your godly character has to be demonstrated and developed here, not in the future. The people of the Bible, they don't live their whole life saying, well, in the future God is going to change me. No. It doesn't even take too much for them to change. Because when they encounter with God, when they have that experience of the presence of God, they start to see that majesty. They start to see that holiness, that consuming fire. Then they start to scare to sin. They start to hate the sin. The first encounter with God usually is terrifying. The first encounter with God usually is terrifying. If an unbeliever is terrified of God, doesn't scare of God, he probably don't have that encounter with God. Sometimes we say, oh, it's simple to be Christian. No, it is not simple to be Christian. Become saved, it is not simple. You cannot save yourself. You cannot say, I want to be saved, I want to go to heaven, and well, I'm saved now. Because I say, Lord, I love you, came into my heart. No, you cannot save yourself. Because that's a miracle. It's even greater than the creation. The Bible teaches us that the salvation of a soul takes more work than the creation. And are you trying to save your life in 5 minutes? That's not common. When the unbeliever enters in the presence of God, he fears God. And then he understands his situation. How horrible we are before God. Do you remember when God was crucified? He was not the only one who was crucified. There was two more. Let's go to Luke. Sorry. Let's go to Luke. Luke, I think it's the last chapter. Let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 23. Let's go to read from verse 39. It says, one of the criminals who were hanged, railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other one said, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? That's what an unbeliever understands when he encountered the first time with God. He's a state of condemnation. And he feared God. You know, this criminal, he doesn't have time to go through all the salvation plan. He doesn't have time to go to discipleship. He didn't do anything of that. But he was saved. You know why? Because he experienced the presence of God and had a horrible fear before that great and amazing God. And you are playing with God? I want to tell you something. God is love. Yeah, but he also hates. God is justice. He is just. But he also condemns. That's not a simple God. One of the greatest abilities of Satan is trying to use the Bible to look it from a different perspective. That's what he always do. He did it with Adam and Eve. He told them, no, it's not that what God means. And he tried to do it also with Jesus. So says the Bible, see, he quoted the Bible. He quoted the Bible. He memorized the Bible. If you don't read your Bible, you don't understand how great is that God? How awesome is that God? How powerful? How is that that every single man that had experienced him was terrifying of him? If you don't see how that happened, you probably won't really understand the fear of God. And let's go to another point. The fear of God is very important also. Because if you don't fear God, you don't read the Bible. I mean, you can read the Bible, but you cannot understand it. The only way you really, well, I mean, since I came here, that is like almost 2 years ago, I had the blessings to buy 150 books. So. You go to my room, I live in a dorm in the campus. You go to my room, you will see my room, and you will see that my room is filled with one mattress, a huge mattress. That's all my room. Huge mattress. And books. Because I like read. I like to read. But, you know, I can read greatest theologians. I can read greatest historians of philosophers. But when I took this book, I don't read this book in the same way I read the other ones. You know, I have some expensive books in my room. And I take care of them because they are expensive. So I cover them, I take care of them. I don't take it out of my room. I take out the cheap books. I don't take out because I always forget things. The pastor knows that. I'm not good with that. But when I took my Bible, I don't read the Bible. I don't read it the same way I read the other books. The other great theologians, the other great historians or philosophers, I don't read them the same way. Because when you read the Word of God, you have to read it with fear. Because it's God who is spoken. Let's go to book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 4. Let's go to chapter 4, the verse 10. And the chapter is it's about to obey the commandments of God. In the verse 10, it says, how on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, that is familiar, The Lord said to me, gather the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so that they might learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they might teach their children. The only way you can hear the word of God is with the fear of God. Go to Isaiah. Isaiah, is it right? Chapter 66. Let's go to read the verse 2. It says, all these things my hand has made. And so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. But the only way you can read the word of God and really understand it is when you fear God. You can read it hundreds of times, but you won't understand if you don't have fear of God. And some of you maybe are happy to read the Word of God once per week on Sundays. The other quotation from Jesus is in chapter 8 of the Deuteronomy or whatever it is. Chapter 8, the third verse, says, and be humble, you, and let you hunger and feed you with manna, which you didn't know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. You know, some people read this text this way. You eat your food, but also you have to read the Bible. No, it is not the way. You cannot live if you don't hear the word of God. You cannot live without the word of God. It is not that it is food plus the word of God. No, it is the word of God. And that's it. If you eat only food, material food, where before of God you are death. The only way you live is with the word of God. And to hear the word of God, you have to fear God. There is no other way. And I want to encourage you to start to look at God in a different way. Stop to see God as a kind God and love the God only. That is God. You know, some terms lose their meaning with the use. With the use. For example, in Peru, or let's say like 200 years ago, being a teacher was a very prestigious profession. Well, today it is also, but it is not that prestigious that it was. Because when you say that one is a teacher, well, people say, oh, that's a teacher. Well, you don't see people saying that today. Oh, that's a teacher. No.
You say that nowadays with doctors. No. Well, in Peru, doctors are not that important. I learned that here. Where I have a friend who is a doctor. I have to live in his house a few months. And everybody, when he was outside, said, oh, Dr. Ha, Dr. Ha. He's just a doctor. But, you know, some words lose their heavy meaning, what it really means when they are used too often. That happens with the word God. When people talk about God in the old times, in the Bible times, they don't even use the name of God. You know, how do you say Jehovah? How do you say Jehovah in English? Jehovah. Jehovah is not the name of God. It's a nickname. They don't even pronounce the name of God, because they fear to that name. Do you fear to the name of God? When you pronounce the word God, do you fear God? Or you just say, yeah. Let's go to, Peter. Let's go to Peter. First Peter. I recommend you Peter also. Very good one. Very small. Don't take you much time, but. First Peter. Chapter 1, let's go to read from verse 16. It says, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy, say the Lord. And if you call on him, you call him a father. When you pray, you usually say father, yeah. Yeah, but if you call him as a father, who judge impartially according to each one's deed, conduct yourself with what? With fear throughout the time of your exile. Peter say, teach us, even when you call him father, fear in your heart. Don't use that word as the only word. I'm just trying to explain you how heavy is our God. We cannot understand. We try, we lose all our time trying to understand. And the only thing we can get is that we had a lot to that we won't understand. You know that there's a Christian group called News Voice, right? You know them. They're nice. There's a famous song they have. What's the name of the song? Do you know? God's not dead, because he's not dead. God's not dead, he's what? He's what? Surely life. I want to show you what happened when he show like? Yeah, like a lion? Yeah, like a lion. Let's go to another book in the Old Testament. Let's go to Hosea chapter 11. I saw them to play that song, and everybody was jumping, and yeah, he's not there, right? Yeah, and the concert, everybody's like crazy, right? Let's go to chapter 11. Uh, the verse 10. It says, they shall go after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children shall come how? Jumping? Clapping? They will come trembling from the west. That's what happened when he roared like a lion. When he roared like a lion, there's no like jumping. No, no, that doesn't happen in the Bible. That's true. That happened with many songs. And we learn to treat God like that. He roared like a lion. No, don't treat God like that. Because the day he will roar like a lion, everybody will be trembling. You will be trembling.
I usually ask people, what God saved you from? Well, there's many kind of answers. They say that he saved me from the hell. Well, that's true. He saved me from my sin. Yeah? He saved me, I don't know, from my bad condition, you know. You know what God saved you from? He doesn't save you from sin. Because sin is not going to send you to hell. He saved you from himself. Because he is the one who's going to send you to hell. When God saved you, he saved you from his own wrath, from himself. And you treat him like an old man. Don't do that. Fear in the presence of God. There is one time when Jesus spoke to a big crowd. It's in Luke. That's in Luke. Go to Luke. Go to Luke chapter 12. Probably this is the greatest crowd Jesus had in all his ministry. It says in Luke chapter 12, verse 1, it says, in the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together. This is probably the greatest crowd Jesus had. You know, when pastor asked me to preach, I say, well, yeah. He actually asked me, why don't you preach? I said, well, you never invite me. So. In Deuteronomy, there are many things you can talk about. I don't know if this is the last time I'm going to speak to you. Maybe. Because the Hispanic preaching will be worse. I'm going to use all my wrath there. I'll be kind with you because I'm not good in English. But when God had to speak to such a great multitude, he doesn't talk about the love of God. You have to stand in front to a crowd and you have to pick one doctrine to talk about something of God. Probably people usually nowadays would choose the love of God, mercy of God. God is our friend, you know. But when God had to speak, Jesus had to speak to probably the greatest crowd he ever had, he talked about the fear of God. He talked about two things, actually. He talked about the false teachers, which are the Pharisees, and the fear of God. And he started in the verse 4, talking about the fear of God. It says, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more than they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he has killed, he has not killed you. Would be great if he just killed you. But he doesn't kill you only. Has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. That's your God. You want to be a follower of Christ? That's your God. I hope you could see a little bit, at least, how important it is, don't play with God. How important it is, don't live your Christian life as a superficial life. Trying to lie Jesus, lie God, you cannot escape from Him. You might think that you are okay with your Christianity, but God demands more than that. God demands more than that. He wants you to be real Christian. And I hope you go home and study how to fear God. There is no a key to fear God. There is no repeat this word and you will fear God. It's not that. You only will fear God in the presence of God. And if you don't have time with the word of God, with God, you won't fear God. The only way you fear God is when you spend time with God. And may God reveal to you. If He reveals to you, you will fear God. How many of you spend 4 hours studying your Bible? How many of you 3 hours every day? Or 2 hours? All great Christians, they spend time with God. And that horrible feeling of condemnation when they encounter the first time God, it turns to a different kind of fear. There is no fear of condemnation anymore when you become Christian. But there is a greater fear. A fear of that majesty of God. Of that almighty God, of that powerful God, of that holy God. It's not fear of condemnation that he's going to do anything against you. That's in the first encounter. When the sinner understands his situation before a holy God. But after that, the fear of God gets greater. Because you look upon him. You see. You experience him. It's not what the people tell you about God. It's not what you see only. It's what you live with the fear of God. Last text. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians, there you go. Philippians. Chapter 2, the verse 12. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with
fear and trembling. You are saved? Well, if you are saved, you should be working in your salvation with fear and trembling. Salvation is not a point in the path of your life. It's not that you made one day a decision and then you are saved. And that's it. No, salvation starts that moment you encounter with God, and that's an end till you die. That's salvation. Because salvation is repent and believe. And you don't just repent when you do that prayer, that sinner prayer. You repent every day of your life. You believe every day of your life. And here Paul taught us, then work out in our salvation with fear and trembling. And how is it that you work in your salvation with fear and trembling? How is it? Well, when God came to your life, you by nature, you are inclined to sin. Everything you do, everything you think, is against God. Do you think Hitler is a bad guy? Well, even in Hitler, the mercy of God stopped him to do worthless things. Do you think you are better than others? No, you are worse probably than others. By your nature, you are inclined in all the aspects of your life to go against God. But when you came to God, you encounter with Him, you fear Him, you start to see changes in your life. You used to have a bad habit, then you start to hate that bad habit. And when you hate it, you tremble. You fear. And why are you trembling? Because it is not in your nature to hate those sins. It is God who came in your life and made you have His feelings and put in your heart His way to think about those evil things. And you are becoming like Him. And you tremble. Because that perspective of the world, that perspective of sin, is not yours. It's what God is doing in your life. God is working in your life. So I invite you to go and get deeper in this fearness of God. That's going to save your life. Okay? So let's pray. Pastor, shall I pray?